This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. Time for another episode of The Week in Iceland, for it is a Monday. It's been quite a busy week, so let's go through that in the company of my colleague Ingibjörg Sara Guðmundsdóttir. Hello.
Hello to you.
You've just been in Akranes seeing the family.
Yeah, I've just been in my hometown seeing my family just over the weekend. So. Yes.
And of course, a tunnel that takes you much more speedily than would have been the case.
Yes, yes.
Many years ago to Akranes, we're going to talk about tunnels to a different part of Iceland later on in our conversation. But let us start today with, well, I think this is good. It's hard to see this not as good news.
Yeah.
Inflation down significantly to its lowest level in 5 years, 3.7%.
Yes. So it has been going down like slightly in the last few months, but it looks like we're getting somewhere now.
Mm.
So we're maybe coming, I don't know, hopefully coming through the inflation, hopefully.
Yes, it's been as high as 10% in the last few years, of course.
Yeah, it has.
It's still not down to the target because the bank want to get it to, I think, 2.5% is
the target. That's the, like, the dream scenario.
The dream. Yeah. Channeling vibe there. That'd be a dream. Get inflation down to 2.5%.
Yeah.
But I think there's a sort of band of 1.5% either way.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're now beneath the 4%, which takes us into that sort of wider target.
Yeah, it does. So we're beneath the 4%, but still some ways to go, like you say, because it's still like we still have the interest rates up and or should we say steady, maybe, at least. But we'll see what happens next time. Maybe the interest rate will go down.
What I think people are skeptical about, not just here but everywhere, is whenever you say inflation is down, that doesn't mean prices are falling.
No.
It just means they're going up less quickly.
Right, yeah. Because it doesn't really feel like, I think people can be can agree that here it doesn't feel like prices are going down or anything like that. But it's always good news when the inflation goes down.
Because it might then, as you mentioned, lead to lower interest rates.
Yeah.
We did see a drop of 0.25%.
Yes.
Last time, I think February is the next meeting.
Yeah, it's quarterly.
Yeah, but of course we get inflation figures more frequently than that. So if they continue to go down, or at least stay where they are, it might be cheaper.
Yeah, it might be. So if the inflation at least continue, as you say, being at least steady or going down a bit every month, because we get inflation numbers every month.
Yes.
So hopefully then maybe the bank manager will see, okay, we're getting somewhere.
And that might lead to another drop in interest rates.
Yeah, because he has been reluctant at lowering the interest rate because he's so afraid of the inflation going up.
Yes. Well, this is the lowest it's been for 5 years, as I say, since December of 2020. So that has to be a good sign if you are looking for interest rates to fall. Of course, at this point, there will be savers listening going, hang on a minute, I'm going to not make as much money on my savings. So that's the other side of that conversation.
Yeah, it's got pros and cons.
But a lot of people have mortgages and want to get mortgages, so they're probably looking for interest rates to fall.
Yeah.
This is a very controversial story. And however you cover this, however you look at this, you're going to end up with a lot of people unhappy, I think. This concerns the question of whether Israel should be banned from the Eurovision Song Contest next year. The board of RÚV, who are, of course, the broadcaster that officially compete, because that's how it works in the Eurovision Song Contest. It's the public service broadcasters that actually take part in the competition. The board of RÚV want Israel to be barred from taking part in Eurovision next year. So that decision's been made.
That decision has been made by the board of RÚV, but it's not quite as simple as that, because though the board of RÚV wants to Israel to not be barred, it hasn't been decided by the whole of the European Broadcasting Union if Israel will compete or not. So this is just us here in Iceland, RÚV, or the national broadcaster, but the decision has not been officially proved.
No, and it may well not, of course, because the EBU meets for its general meeting sometime this week. Yeah. And that is when the EBU, European Broadcast Union, will have a conversation about this.
Yeah. And we have had some pressure from other countries like Spain and Slovenia.
I think so.
Yeah. And the Netherlands and a few other countries have been taking like this.
Spain and Ireland have both said they don't
want. Spain and Ireland, yeah.
Israel to take part.
Yeah. So it, but as I understand that it's not, there's not like a consensus about this at EBU.
And what still isn't known is if Ruv and Iceland, therefore, will take part if Israel is not ultimately banned from participating. So this is not even Ruv saying that Iceland will not take part. It is just at this stage Ruv saying we're on the side of those who say that Israel should not take part.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a bit complicated. It's got whole levels to this conflict. But so that's still where they stand because they haven't. I think they're waiting for the big decision with EBU.
Yes.
So they're waiting for that because that's going to be the this week, as you say. It's not a big decision until that meeting.
No. And you might remember a couple of, I think it was 2 years ago, that Sungvakeppnin, which is traditionally the contest that decides Iceland's entry for Eurovision, there was a period during which Iceland was not committed to entering Eurovision. We still had Sungvakeppnin.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I genuinely don't know what will happen. I think Sungvakeppnin is happening.
I think so. Sungvakeppnin is happening. Yes. And apparently like a record number of songs were admitted into that. So Sungvakeppnin is happening. But as with the last few years, we don't have certainty with if the person that or the act that wins Sungvakeppnin will continue on to the Eurovision Song Contest.
So it is possible that Sungvakeppnin might just, I say just in quotes, be the Icelandic televised singing contest, which is kind of what it translates as.
Yeah. I think so. It looks that way at least now because they haven't decided if they want to do Eurovision.
Okay. Let's turn to something which is, I guess, arguably more serious. It's a matter of life and death, potentially, for some people. 37 minutes could pass between landing and treatment. Doctors want answers about whether and where emergency helicopters can land at the new Landspitali, the new hospital that is being built. And it's been timed that currently it can take, as I say, 37 minutes between getting the helicopter down and getting that patient in front of a doctor.
Yeah, that's really, it's a lot of time because we minutes can make a difference in life and death situations. Mm. So because there aren't because there isn't a landing pad at the new Landspitali.
Yet.
Because they're very skeptical or worried about what's going to happen. Because at Landspitali Fossvogur, which is right near here, just across the street from here, there is a landing pad next to the hospital. And we, when helicopters land, we are very aware of that.
Oh, absolutely. We live in Kupavoy, not too far from here.
Yeah.
And it's on, you know, often the flight path. But of course, by that point, the helicopter's so low anyway.
Yeah.
You can hear when something is regrettably happening, when someone is being taken in serious condition to Fosfor. But there are two locations, aren't there, currently, where the Coast Guard helicopters land. So that's one of them.
Exactly. And the other one is at Hringbraut, because the Reykjavik airport, so they have hospital like flights, like actual airplanes for emergencies that land at Reykjavik airport, and then that it's not long from Hringbraut, the Landspitali Hringbraut.
I mean, you would hope, wouldn't you, that this gets sorted? Because I think we're still 5 years away, potentially, from this new hospital being
and
open,
there have
probably
been
longer.
Some, yeah, and there have been some ideas of having like a helicopter landing pad on the top of the buildings, but that would maybe create some issues with the neighbours.
Yeah.
And maybe not even because the houses, they have to be like fortified or something, I think, to be able for a helicopter to land.
Yes.
So there is still a lot of uncertainty about this, but they also have the Reykjavik airport a few minutes away.
Yes.
But it's not ideal, though, because you want to have the helicopter next to the hospital.
You'd feel like this would want to be a priority.
Yeah.
And as I say, there are still 5 years. But equally, you can understand why the medical staff are concerned that this might get missed.
Yeah.
Or might not happen for some reason.
Exactly. So it's really, it really is uncertainty about this. But Alma Möller, she's the Minister of Health, and she trained in being an emergency doctor on helicopters.
Okay.
So I think she should have some...
Well, if she doesn't have insight into this, then who else in the government is going to know as much about that particular issue as her, by the sounds of it?
Exactly.
Here's a story that comes up once a year, and it always fascinates people outside of Iceland, I think, because I don't know whether this is true of other countries. It may be true in some other countries. It's certainly true here. There is a names committee. If you are going to name your new child, that name that you choose has to be in accordance with the rules of the Icelandic naming committee, and there are 9 new names that get permission.
This happens a few times a year.
Yes.
And they always have new names, and these are always the stories that people read and fuss about on Facebook and social media. But they have the newest rulings, which are 9 names, because the committee is, because we have to have Icelandic grammar for the names. You have to be able to say the names according to Icelandic grammar rules.
Yes. So the names have to be, they have to be able to be declined.
Yes.
In various cases. And that's really the only rule, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if someone was to come up with a very offensive word or an obviously ridiculous name, that wouldn't be approved either.
Yeah, yeah.
But the main rule is a grammatical rule.
Yeah, it is a grammatical rule, and that's at least the main thing that you need to have to be able to pass through the committee.
Well, here are the new names that are approved and can also be declined in Icelandic. Rick, Raven in English, but Hrafn obviously exists in Icelandic.
Hrafn, yeah.
It exists in Icelandic.
Yeah.
Inora, Carlo, Flores, Jörvaldi, Ian.
Yeah.
But that's just Jon, isn't it?
It is,
it's a version of Jon. Okay.
Yeah.
And Manzi.
Yeah.
And also Athanasius.
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 Yeah.
Has been approved as well.
Yeah.
And if you go back maybe, 5 years, I think, to 2020, the previous government, previous justice minister, or one of them at least, proposed getting rid of this human naming committee.
Yeah.
And that just didn't happen.
No. and we also know that Jón Gnarr, who's now a PM and used to be a mayor of...
And comedian,
yes. Mayor of Reykjavik and comedian and actor. He has been like having a personal fight with the committee for years because his name is Jón Gunnar, but he is always called Jón Gnarr.
Yes.
Because at least the story I think he told sometime was that when he was misbehaving as a child, his mother would call Jón Gnarr, and it just translated into Gnarr.
That's why he's Gnarr, the great. Okay,
yeah,
see, I did
at
wonder.
At least that's the story he told sometime, and he has been fighting to get Gnarr through the committee, and I think he won it by going to court. I can't remember quite slightly now, but he has been very vocal about this as well. But it's like people are, I guess, conservative when coming to names.
So conservative that do you think there is a desire to keep this committee in place?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think people, obviously, if you have a situation where your name is not like legal or allowed, it's really frustrating. But I think the rules are a bit looser now than they used to be. And so I think they may be, they're budging a little bit on it. But I can understand that it can be frustrating if you have like a family name or some other name that you can't
Yes. Well, here's a quote from 2020 from the time that there was a possibility, or at least there was a possibility of a bill that might have changed all of this.
Yeah.
One campaigner for a change in the law said, "We had a very difficult upbringing. We're in the situation that as things stand, we don't want to be named after either one of our parents." And she then said, "I just think it's so weird. It's so strange. Why is the state meddling in it at all?"
Yeah, and it's also a political decision, like yes. having a special committee by the state to decide who gets to be named what. It's a bit strange.
I think it's because I'm not a parent, but I think it's because presumably naming your child is such a personal decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone would approve of the lovely reality in Iceland where, you know, there is no sort of borrowing of words from other languages. Mm-hmm. New words are created in Icelandic. That's exactly. Fantastic. But maybe people who've got a problem with the committee of names have that problem because, as I say, it's such a personal thing to name a child.
Yeah, I think so. And I think maybe that's also because how they've gotten a bit looser in these last few years. So, but you also see some of the names that are being approved, and some may find it strange that people want to use these names.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah.
And as we say, most of this, or much of this, comes down to grammar.
Yeah,
as is so often
it does.
The case.
And at least for now, it doesn't look like this committee is going anywhere or being disbanded.
No, that desire from a few years ago to change things does seem to have gone away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, we mentioned that you were in Akranes
earlier
on today, and that always puts me in mind of the tunnel that goes through Kvalfjörður, that you mm-hmm. can go to Akranes and Borgarnes much more quickly from the capital than was the case 25, almost 30 years ago before that tunnel was built.
Yeah.
And I remember just being in Iceland before the tunnel was built and having to go around Kvalfjörður, which is a very beautiful drive, but takes a lot longer.
Yes.
So tunnels have their place in Iceland in reducing the amount of time it takes to get from one place to another. But there is one tunnel that has yet to be built, mm-hmm. and that would be a tunnel connecting mainland Iceland to Vestmannaeyjar and the Westman Islands.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
No. And it's maybe not strange that it hasn't happened, considering that Westman Islands are an active volcano.
Yeah.
It's obviously very expensive.
Yes.
Tunnels are very expensive and can be, as you say, like a really good option to shorten paths and also for example, in the Westfjords. And Eastfjords, where you have like roads that maybe you can't drive all the year round.
Yeah,
so it can be really good for people to have tunnels to connect them better with the environment. But
an island, as you say, particularly a volcanic one, of course, there's not been an eruption there since the famous eruption of 1973.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's one consideration if you're thinking of building a tunnel.
Yeah.
Currently, you can get to the Westman Islands. There's a ferry service, and depending on the time of year, it either takes about 25 minutes or 3 hours.
Yes.
Because during the winter, I think it's not possible to get one of the boats into the, what's the word I'm looking for, harbour. into the harbour in the Westman Isles. Because of the depth of the water or something.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand what the reasoning behind it is. But basically, I've had to do it both ways.
Yeah.
I've done it once on the short crossing, and then I've also had to do it on the longer crossing mm-hmm. as well. And that 3-hour crossing really does feel like you are spending days getting somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah. I've never done the 3-hour crossing. I've been so lucky to just do the 25 minutes one.
Yes.
But there are conditions in the harbour, especially in the winter, that happen that the Herjólfur, the ferry, can't swim, sail between Landeyjahöfn and Vestmannaeyjar. And then it goes to Þorlákshöfn, which is just not far away from Selfoss, if people know that, but that's 3 hours, and of course we have also flights, but they have been very consistent in the last few years.
Yes, there is a winter service at the moment with Norlandair, which will run until the end of February.
Yeah,
4 days a week. Which is better than nothing.
Better than nothing.
But I suppose it feels a bit like an emergency service because that's only there for the very worst part of the winter.
Yeah. And of course, you can understand people that live in Vestmannaeyjar. It's like a safety issue also for them.
Yeah.
If somebody gets sick or something happens or something, just you need to get to the Northern Ireland as
yes
as my friend says
it's get to Iceland. Vestmannaeyjar is such a fantastic town.
It is.
It's a lovely place.
It's so beautiful.
And there's lots going on there. It's really friendly.
Yeah.
It feels very sort of happy and prosperous.
Yeah.
And of course, there have been problems not just with transport, but with the water supply in recent years as well. But it's a wonderful place. And I wonder whether islanders would want there to, whether all islanders would want there to be a tunnel that means you could just drive to the mainland in, what, 15 minutes or 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, that, I mean, there is pros and cons that go with that, because as I can, just from the experience in Akranes, after the tunnels, a lot of, like, service in Akranes, or maybe just, like, shops, companies and stuff like that, they went away because it's so short to go to Reykjavik.
Yes.
It, like, went from 1.5 hours to 45 minutes. So a lot of shops don't function there because people just go to Reykjavik to shop.
And, of course, Akranes is not on the ring road either. Borgarnes is.
It is, yeah.
Akranes, well, that's interesting. So although it became easier to get to, that was the reason that services disappeared.
Yeah. And lots of more people, like, work in Reykjavik, which is maybe, you know, not unusual, but live in Akranes, but then we don't have much in Akranes to work, you know.
But I suppose with the Westman Islands, which are, I think it's fair to say, more of a tourist destination maybe than Akranes.
Yeah.
In definitely. The summer particularly.
Yeah.
There's only so much space on that island.
Yeah, there is. And yeah, it might be some worse with that, you know. But I understand that they want to have the tunnels, but at least as I see it, I don't think it's a realistic possibility.
No. We've got a couple of minutes only to talk about Patti Smith.
Yes.
The singer who is coming to Iceland next spring. She's going to be performing not just in Reykjavik at Harpa, but also in Akureyri in Hof. Not the first time she's come to Iceland. She's very fond of the country. But for someone of this scale, I guess, as an artist, to perform not just in Reykjavik, but in Akureyri, is pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's really good news for Akureyri and chance for people to get to maybe experience her in concert in, like, an untraditional venue, or even though Hof is really beautiful and really good for concerts.
Well, she's played in a couple of interesting places when she's been here. 2005, she played in NASA, the club.
Yeah.
House Gulabio in 2006.
Exactly.
She then took part in Culture Night with Russell Crowe in 2012.
Yeah.
And she's been in Harper again, or before in 2014 as well, and in 2015. So we shall see her here next year. I know a lot of people are excited by the possible arrival of Patti Smith.
Yeah. She's obviously such a good musician and fantastic. And people, she has fans all around, so it's a really good opportunity to see her.
Is there capacity in Iceland for, and this maybe touches on Eurovision, I guess, to an extent, but is there anywhere in Iceland or Reykjavik that would be able to accommodate a really, really big artist? What's the biggest sort of capacity for live music? Would it be?
Well, we've had
Lordal?
We've had Lördalur with Ed Sheeran and Guns N' Roses performed outside, and that's I think maybe the biggest we have outside. But it's Iceland, so we can't. I went to the Ed Sheeran concert, and it was in August, and there was like 10 degrees outside, and we were freezing.
Yes.
So, and it was really windy, and I thought the stage was going to blow away. So, but then we also have, I mean, Justin Timberlake and Justin Bieber. They performed in Kórinn in Kópavogur, and Laufey is about to perform there as well. So we have a few venues, but I think you'd have to build something bigger.
I think for Eurovision.
For Eurovision,
if Iceland takes part and when it wins.
When it wins.
As nearly happened if COVID hadn't come along in 2020.
Right?
That would have been a victory for Dudley. No one doubts that, I think. And then Iceland would have had to answer the question, where are we going to host Eurovision?
Yeah.
And I think that there is still such, generally speaking, there is still such fondness for Eurovision in Iceland.
Yeah.
That would there be a collective decision just to get out the credit card and build somewhere?
I mean, that's definitely a possibility. And I think people would be so excited for it that might come to be.
Yeah, I think so. Inga Saara, thank you very much. We'll talk again at Drew English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. You can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from RUV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.